Amen. 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 Let's go to John 3. The title of this message is a familiar one to you. You used to hear it on a radio station. It's called The Choice is Yours. Yeah. And this new series we're in is called The Matter of Choice. John 3, verses 16 and 17 in the Passion Translation reads, "For this is how much God loved the world. He gave his one and only unique Son as a gift. So now everyone who believes in him will never perish, but experience everlasting life. God did not send his Son into the world to judge and condemn the world, but to be its Savior and to rescue it." Amen. And then John 13, verses 34, 35, also in the Passion Translation, Jesus said to his disciples, "So I give you now a new commandment. Love each other just as much as I have loved you. For when you demonstrate the same love I have for you by loving one another, everyone will know that you are my true followers." Everyone. I want everyone to know. How about you? Turn with me, please, to 2 Peter. This is out of the Passion Translation, 2 Peter 1. I believe this is verse 3. It reads, "Everything we could ever need for life and complete devotion to God has already been deposited in us by his divine power. For all this was lavished upon us through the rich experience of knowing him who has called us by name and invited us to come to him through a glorious manifestation of his goodness. So we've already been given everything that we need to live a life in complete devotion to God. We've already been given it." Ephesians 1. And still in the Passion Translation, verse 3, says, "Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm has already been lavished upon us by the love gift from our wonderful Heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus, all because he sees us wrapped in Christ. This is why we celebrate him with our hearts." So, folks, we already know that God has already supplied everything we need. Amen. The scripture specifically says, "My God shall supply all your," not some of your need, "shall supply all of your need." He loves us. He forgives us. He told us, "Cast your burdens on me. Cast your cares." He doesn't want us to carry any of that stuff. And he's already, he said, "My grace is sufficient." So he's already poured all of those things out on us. So the question is, why don't we see the fruit of them? See, I was thinking about the series I just finished teaching called New Operating System. I was thinking about the messages that Pastor Ed had been teaching on love and is teaching on faith. And I was sitting down and I was just considering some things. And when I consider things, I start with me. And I start asking God questions. You know, why this or what's causing that? All of these things. And he said to me, "Gregory," he said, "it's not that my provisions aren't there and are not available. You're not choosing them." And, of course, I did what most of us do. I lied. I said, "Yes, I am." "God, I choose you. I receive you." So I said, that's not what I said. He said, "All the things that you are going through is a result of choices that you have made." Because he said to me, you know, it's like he said, "Newsflash, I'm not the one who decides the outcome of your life. The choices you make determine the outcome of your life." Amen. The choices you make. Amen. Would you go, please, to Deuteronomy 30? And that principle was that's what jump-started me into becoming born again. When Pastor Clinton said, one right you have that no one can take away from you is the right to form your own attitude about anything. He said, someone can hit you in the head with a baseball bat and you don't have to get mad about it if you don't want to. And I understood when I heard that all these years I've been choosing to carry around anger. I've been choosing to get even because I thought I had to. I didn't know. It's when I didn't know I had a choice to choose, yet I'm making choices all of the time, thinking that I have to. Yet Deuteronomy 30, King James, verse 19, God said, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore, wait a minute, don't go. Therefore, because you have either death or life in every situation, in everything that you need to do, it's either going to lead to death or life. He said, because I have set them both before you, choose life. He could have just as easily said, I set life before you. This is it. This is what you're going to do. No, he gave us a choice. And he told us what those choices were. And God said to me, every choice you make, you need to look at from the purpose of, from the perspective of, is this life or is this death? And sometimes we look at death as, you know, literally just dying. No, you don't tithe. You've chosen death to your finances. You're not faithful in your marriage. You've chosen death to your marriage. If you don't study and do your schoolwork, you've chosen death to your grades, death to your chances of getting a college scholarship. We don't look at it in those terms, but we have to, because God said, "I put before you life and death." Blessings and cursings. So if you feel that you're experiencing cursings, you need to go back and look at some of the choices that you have made. Because cursings cannot force themselves on us, just like blessings can't force themselves on us. We have to make a choice. And God tells us or told us the choice that we needed to make. He said, choose life, and you'll have it. He said that you and your seed may live. Our failure to choose life, we let loose some things, and it's not God's fault. It's our fault. But he showed me how he set this in motion from the beginning. Go to Genesis 1, please. Verse 26 to 28. We've read this passage a number of times, but God unlocked something in it. God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And he said, let them have dominion. He said, let them have dominion. Why didn't he say they will absolutely have dominion? Why didn't he say they have no choice but to have dominion? Why did he say let them have dominion? He was giving a choice. He made us to have dominion. And he said that he wants us to have dominion. We have to choose to have dominion. Amen. I mean, if I said to my friend Donovan, you can come up here, I'll give you my notes, and you can finish the message. He has to make a choice. I provided the podium. I provided the notes. I provided the opportunity. I provided the people. He has to make a choice. He can either choose to come up, take the iPad and finish the message or not. And he can, and you can rationalize both. You can say, oh, he didn't really mean for me to come up there and preach. He's just trying to make a point. You can say, no, God knows that I don't really know enough to stand in front of the people and talk. So no, I'm not going up there. But everything's been set for him. Everything's been put in place. You have to make choices that line up with life. With life. Your focus is on me here. All right? Make a choice. You're going to stay focused on the word no matter what else is going on. Amen? He said, let them have dominion. Let implies that someone is yielding. It's yielding. When you say, let them pass, that means, okay, you can stop them, but you're just moving. Well, if they want to come by, they can come by. But they can choose not to. It's their choice. The provisions are there. You have to make the choice. God's not going to make it for you. It says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of man created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. Replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion. Again, be fruitful. He's telling you, look, be fruitful. You say, you know, behave. You have to choose. Am I going to follow the rules and do what's right? Or am I going to do whatever I want? Be fruitful. Are you going to make a choice to be fruitful? Are you going to do what's necessary to be fruitful? If you choose, when I chose that I was, when I made the choice to become a basketball player, everything that went into being a player, I had to do. By choice. No one made me. No one. I chose it. I chose it. Deacon Phyllis and I didn't have to get married to save embarrassment. God put us together. We made a choice. And after he put us together, we made some choices that we're staying together. Are things perfect? No. Not always. Most of those are my fault. No. No. No, but we've made a choice that what God has put together, let no man put us. Well, we fall under that category of no man. All right. But we made a choice. We can't blame God for it. We chose it. And I'm happy about it. God bless them. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it. They had to make a choice. Now, go to Genesis 2. Just giving you an outline. We're going to go a little more in depth on Wednesday and next Sunday. Just wanted to kind of outline this without keeping you too long today. I said, in Genesis 2, it says, and God took man, verse 15, and God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord commanded of the man, saying, of every tree in the garden thou mayest eat freely. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt. He put before man life and death and said, choose life. So why couldn't he just eliminate the other tree? So then man wouldn't have had a choice. God wants us to choose to do things his way. He wants us. Lord, I don't want to say that. I remember one time. heard one time, because I wasn't there, it was a woman's meeting, and it was suggested, you know, when they're talking about the scripture, don't about husband and wife, don't defraud one another, let it be with consent. You all know what I'm talking about? Okay. And someone asked a question, well, what if, you know, he wants to and I don't? Well, you could always lay there and pray in tongues. That's just my wife. Don't you ever do that. No. No. This has to be a choice that this is what we want to do. Because there's no life. There's no life in it if it's that way. Lord, I'll say what you tell me to say. But he puts before us life and death in every situation, and he wants us to choose life. Amen. And we have to get to the place where we understand, folks, if we're not choosing life, we're choosing death. We're choosing death in everything. I want to have a vibrant life. I want every part of my life to be exciting and vibrant, you know, and productive. And that's what God wants, but it's dependent on the choices I make. Now, understand something about choices. And this isn't correct English, but it's the way I'm going to say it. They ain't always easy. Amen. They ain't always easy. Amen. And especially in this age, making the right choice seems to be harder than it ever was. Because the world has tried to make what is wrong right. And they make you think there's something wrong with you. Amen. If you choose anything else. And you can't even talk about it. Amen. You know, folks don't want to discuss anything. You have a difference of opinion, it turns out to a fist fight. You know. Amen. And, you know, of course, there's some subjects and some names you can't even mention. I had to say to someone, to my son yesterday, I said, the president has a name. Okay. So when we talk about, please call him by name. Don't tell me about 45. I think you're talking about a gun. All right. But folks argue about that and not discuss it. But God said, pray for all that are in authority. That's what God said. He said, all authority is of him. So if we don't choose that, we're choosing death. Now, can you imagine? Just think for a minute. You don't choose to pray. You choose to complain and to talk and to rename. We're speaking death to our nation. I don't understand why people want the president to fail. We live here. If he fails, we're in trouble. As a nation, as a believer, I'm going to be fine because I'm choosing life. Okay, I'm sticking with what God said. I don't care what everyone else does. I'm sticking with what God said. But see, God, everything that we need for a life of complete devotion has already been given to us. We have to start making better choices. Go to 1 Kings. We're talking about Elijah. I know you know this account. But God told me when I woke up this morning, God gave me this, so I did the edit. Because I wanted to choose life. Right? 1 Kings 17, this is in the New King James. It says, and Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew or rain these years except at my word. So he's telling him, you ain't getting any water unless I say so. Now, how many of you know that Ahab didn't think that was a great thing? He said, hey, that's fine. You know, whenever you're ready, send the water. Then the word of the Lord came to him, Elisha, saying, get away from here. Why? Obviously, it was no longer safe. He said, get away from here and turn eastward. Get away from here, turn eastward. Well, I don't like east. I want to go west. And you walk right into Ahab and his men. He said, turn eastward and hide. I ain't afraid of nobody. I'm not hiding. The Lord is with me. The Lord just told you to hide. Okay. All right. He said, hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan, and it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded ravens to feed you. I'm like, wait a minute. You going to send me food that was in a bird's mouth? No, that can't be God. That can't be God. Elijah now has to make a choice. God put before him life or death. Blessing, have food, or cursing, no food. But he said, you go here, and this is what I'm going to do. Notice God didn't even say what he was going to do if you didn't go there, because as far as God was concerned, you're on your own. So you can either go with God or go with you. You can go with God who's unlimited or go with you who's extremely limited. You can go with God and have at disposal all of his wisdom, or you can go with you and be condemned by your lack of wisdom. I mean, that's the way we need to look at these things. Ravens, if you know anything about ravens, most of their food is they get most of their food by scavenging. Now that they know how to hunt, and they're pretty efficient, but why hunt when you can take someone else's? You know? So they scavenge. Scavengers usually don't, independent scavengers usually don't share. Even pride scavengers don't. Lions come upon a kill, there's a hierarchy. Everybody just can't go. You have to go in ranking. If you're a low man on a totem pole, you might be hungry. Okay. But ravens usually don't share. They eat to their full, and they go on about their business. And God said, I'm going to have scavengers bring you breakfast and dinner. And you have all the water you want to drink from the brook. Elijah had to make a choice. He made the right choice. It says in verse 5, so he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And all was well with Elijah, because he did what God told him to do, and he chose life. Life. We read John 3:16 all of the time, and it's about making a choice. God so loved the world that he already provided so that anyone who believes, anyone who makes a choice to believe will have eternal life. They won't perish. But some people choose not to. I don't understand it, but some choose not to. God made a way. He put all the provisions right there for us and said, choose them. And we choose not to. I remember mommy said to me, she said, son, if you do what I tell you, you'll always be safe. And I believe that until I got to some size and figured I could do what I want and take care of me. Until I find myself looking at down the double-barrel shotgun because I snuck out of the house when I was supposed to be home. And all I heard was, son, if you do what I say, you'll always be safe. And I didn't feel safe at that moment. And from that moment on, I listened and obeyed, because I almost chose death and didn't realize it. You know, I wasn't setting out to be disobedient per se. My friend and I had a plan with some mischief that we were going to do. I didn't know it was going to get myself killed in the process. But if I had listened and chosen life, I would not have been in that situation. And then I had to go through fear that mommy was going to find out. I think it was on my 35th birthday I told her about that. No, that's significant, see, because if she asked me, I would have told her because I'd tell her the truth. But she never asked. She never asked specifics. She said, "Hey, did you know the drugstore was robbed?" I said, "Yep." She didn't say, "How do you know?" When I told her that, she said, "I do remember. You had this strange look on your face when you said," "Yes, I know." And that's just what I did, because I just knew the next question was going to be, "How did you know? Or how did you find out?" And I'd say, "I snuck out of the house," and I'd have to call the police to save me. But I had to make a choice to choose life, just like we all have to make a choice to choose life. God said, "Yeah, I put before you, you can live a blessed life or a cursed life. Choose blessed life so you and your seed will live, and you'll love the Lord thy God with all your heart." So that's telling me if I choose death, I'm not going to love the Lord thy God with all my heart, because I'm going to be blaming him for what's happening to me. When it's not his fault, it's my fault, because I made the wrong choice. Do you see that? Folks, every day we're faced with choices. Every day. We have to make a choice. Choose what to wear, what not to wear. Some outfits you look at and you say, "I know God didn't tell them to wear that." But we start right down to the smallest denominator and let God decide. And then let him answer. God bless you. You open your closet and you see all these different outfits you can wear, all these different things you can wear. And we decide what kind of look we want to have that day. And yes, I know it's very, very simple, but that's where things start. See, another reason why we have a hard time is we start tackling. I didn't decide I'm going to be a basketball player and immediately try and get on a pro-am team. No, I had to learn how to play. I had to play in little PAL leagues and all these other little leagues. I had to be willing to lose games by 60 points while I'm honing skills and learning what all of this is about, and each time advancing to another level and another level and another level. And then the next thing you know, you're running with the pros. But it's the choices that we make. It's just like we were talking about earlier with volunteering. It's not that we don't have the time. Is that we don't want to take the time and use it for that. We have to make different choices. I was speaking with someone, and we were talking about spending time praying the Holy Ghost. And they said to me, they said, "I know with all the things you have to do, it's hard for you to find time." And I said, "Honestly, that's not a true statement. Yes, I have a lot to do, but that's time." It's no, but with all of this going on, I said, "If I have time to sit down and watch recordings of Hill Street Blues, I have time to pray." Amen. Amen. So it's not a matter of having time. It's a matter of choosing what to do with the time that I have. Because if we needed more time, God would have made the day longer than 24 hours. Or at least, you know, he might say, "Well, what I've called Deacon Phyllis to do, she needs a 40-hour day. And Miss Rose, well, she can do a 30-hour day. You know, you can have a 24." No, everybody has 24 hours. So if God is telling us to do something, it can be done in that time frame if we make the right choices. So we have to get better, folks, at making right choices, and we'll start experiencing everything that God has planned for us. Everything. The dedication ceremony was an example of that. Parents have to make choices now concerning the children. Will this cause my child to grow closer to God or push away from God? And as I started to tell you a few moments ago, and I digressed, I apologize for that, but it's not always easy to make right choices. But it has everything to do with obedience. I mean, when I was a department head, I had to make some tough choices. I didn't like them, but I had to make them because I had to choose life. We took the children to an Choir to Fire weekend in Baltimore, and they wanted to go to this game place. I forget the name. I don't remember the name of it. It was one of the first gaming places you go to. And I've never had any issues with the children. They were always well-behaved. So I went to them, Pastors Clinton and Sarah DeBach, and I said, we'd like to take the children on Sunday after we have our service, before the bus comes, and let them spend a couple of hours in this place. I said, this is the plan. They're going to stay with their chaperones every second that we're in there. I've been to the place, I've checked it out, et cetera, et cetera. They agreed. I said to the chaperones, rule number one, do not leave these children unsupervised for a second. Period. So what's rule number two? There's no rule number two. Okay. So why'd you take that? Because I looked every parent in the eye and said, you let your children come with us, they'll be safe. We'll take care of them. We walk into this place, and within 5 minutes, first of all, we noticed the place was loaded with pedophiles. Because when our children came in, folks that were like standing in one place talking, they looked and they just started walking. And I'm like, okay, but they're with their chaperones. So it's fine. I walk around this place, just walking around, because I'm not getting involved in any games or anything. I'm watching. Okay. And I see, and one of the rules was no games. They couldn't do any boxing games or couldn't shoot anything. So they were limited to sports-type games, you know, running and basketball and that kind of thing. And we looked and we saw one young man doing skeet shooting by himself in the first 5 minutes. And we looked, where's your chaperone? Come with me. And we look, his chaperone, it's amazing that I didn't revert, but his chaperone and another chaperone were in a fenced, an enclosure playing one-on-one basketball. And I have four children unsupervised. And then I look and I see another. I said to my wife, I said, honey, you go that way, I'll go this way. Everybody comes out now. I didn't care that they had to pay extra money to go into this place. They were choosing death and not life. And they said, well, we'll pull them all out. So we talked about this. You didn't do it. That's it. Well, what are we going to do till the bus comes? Nothing. We're going to stay right here where I can see everybody. Period. Mr. Carr was not the most popular person at that moment. But I'm sure every single parent probably was very appreciative that I made that choice. As a deacon, I was required to make some choices. And, well, first of all, joining the Ministries of Helps, you fill out a form, and there's a question on there. Will you follow the instructions of the leadership, even if you don't understand them or agree with them? Every single person that's in the Ministries of Helps said yes. I said, yes. Now I'm asked to do something that I don't think should be done. But I'm not the leadership. I'm the soldier. I follow orders. And so I followed my orders. Yet I had tears in my eyes, but I followed my orders. Period. Next thing I know, I'm in the office of pastor. I guess, see, if I'd chosen life, death, I wouldn't be here. Yeah, maybe literally. But the reason I'm sharing that with you folks is to let you know I understand that making choices to do it God's way isn't easy. But I can tell you this, it gets easier as you go along. Because it comes to, this is what God said, this is life, I'm going with life. That's why there's some things that just aren't an issue for me and us because of the choices we've already made. They're just not an issue. And that's the way we have to be with everything. If God said, I mean, we make that declaration. God said it, that settles it, I believe it. Really? Then why are we making the choices we're making? We have to start making choices in line with what God has said because those choices lead to life. We have to choose Christ. He said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come so that you may have, so you can go with the thief or you can go with the one that's promised you life. I'm sticking with life and having it more abundantly. And I hope you will also. Amen. Believe not, I'm going to unhook because I'm only going to give you what he told me to give you for today. I have other thoughts, but we'll save them for Wednesday. Yes. How do you? Oh, that's right. My wife just reminded me, Wednesday I'm not here. We're off to Virginia to another graduation. Okay, you're going to have to stay 2 more hours so I can give you the rest. No. So you have to hold on till next Sunday because we're going to look at some more specific instances where the choice of life had to be made. But simply put, let's go back to Deuteronomy. We'll end by reading this together, Deuteronomy 30. Because when I looked at this, God is really saying that all of heaven is the witness. All of heaven has witnessed this. It's like heaven's the notary that witnessed that I have placed before you death and life, blessings and curses, and that I have instructed you to choose life. There at verse 19, let's read it. I call heaven and earth to record this, come on, wait, that's not everybody. I want everybody's voice. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. Let's read it out loud. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father, for all that we've done this day. Thank you, Lord, for the children that were dedicated. Thank you for the families that were dedicated, that committed their lives to one of obedience to you so that they and their seed may live. Thank you for the simple word that you shared with us this morning, letting us know that it's really just a matter of choice. We can choose to have what you want for us or not. And you could have done it a different way. You could have made it that we didn't have a choice, that we had to, but you loved us so much that you want us to do things for you, want us to obey you because we love you just like you love us. Thank you for sending the Holy Ghost to prick our hearts when we're about to make a wrong choice. That he'll remind us of what you said so that we will change our minds and make the right choice, which is to choose life. We thank you, Lord, that if there's anyone in here that did not know that they needed to choose Jesus as their Savior, that they'll do so now. And we come against any form of darkness. And we command it to leave, to lift off the people, and to leave this place. And we know it's done in the name of Jesus, because Jesus himself said that he gave us power over all the power of the enemy. So the enemy cannot influence or deter or steal anything from a believer operating in his authority or her authority. We thank you for it all, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Hallelujah.